Hi, welcome to Alaska Radio Reader Rambler, your monthly potpourri of stimulating snacks for the mind. I'm Sandy Harper here with my co-host Dick Reichman with a very special guest, Etsu Perales, who's the CEO of Alaska Girl Scouts. And I'm sure many of you have supported Girl Scouts by buying cookies, but maybe lots of cookies. But today, Girl Scouts is a little different than the Girl Scouts you might remember. And Sue, maybe you could tell us what's different about being a Girl Scout today than in 2013 in Alaska than maybe it used to be.
Hi, Sandy and Dick, and hello to all the listeners out there.
All right.
Girl Scouts have maintained many of our traditional activities. We still do a lot of outdoor activities, a lot of camping. Girls still earn badges, and all of our programs are age appropriate, but we've added lots of new things without losing some of the wonderful things that we've always been known for doing. More recently, we've focused on building leadership skills for girls. So we have a leadership program that goes across every activity that we do. If you're in a troop or in summer camp, the way the programs are organized, the way that the whole programs are put together, build leadership skills in girls. So if you're in a troop, even a troop of daisies, and daisies are kindergartners, the girls decide what they want to do. And they learn how to make decisions and how to have opinions and how to lead their troop.
So it's teamwork as well as being a leader.
It's absolutely teamwork as well as being a leader, getting along with the other girls in the troop, and learning how to move the troop forward so the troop can accomplish whatever their goals are for the year.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, one of the things that I'm very impressed by, you know, I know you have a capital campaign now for Singing Hills.
We do. We're rebuilding Camp Singing Hills, which is a 40-acre property in Chugiak that unfortunately was the victim of arson 3 or 4 years ago. Oh. And with the help of the state and the Rasmussen Foundation and many generous donors around the state, we are now rebuilding the camp. It's going to continue to be a fabulous day camp for Alaska's girls. But in addition to that, we're going to have a group of yurts for year-round camping, trails, a canoe area, and a lodge, which will become a STEM center for Alaska girls.
Yeah, and tell about that.
And STEM is a bit of it's an anachronism, and STEM is for science, technology, engineering, and math. And these are all academic studies and areas of interest that we would like to introduce girls to.
Yeah, I love this idea of really encouraging girls to go into fields where earlier they might not have been tempted to go into.
Yeah, traditionally, there haven't been as many women in the sciences and engineering as you might think. So what we want to do is, when girls are young, is to introduce them to these fields. And if they decide that that's what interests them, then they have an opportunity to pursue it through school and other avenues.
Now, Sue, is this a rebirth of the Girl Scouts? I don't remember these goals, or knowing that these goals were what the Girl Scouts used to have when I was that age, children even.
Nationally, Girl Scouts as an organization does a wonderful job of modernizing itself every decade or two. And most recently, both leadership and STEM activities have become priorities.
Do you meet with leadership of who would people in your similar position, your counterparts in the rest of the country, and sort of cook these things up?
We do. We have once a month, we have a large telephone conference call with all of my counterparts, all the CEOs of other parts of the country. And there are 112 councils around the country that each have their own CEO. And we actually just met this morning by teleconference. And once a year we get together for a long weekend and discuss Girl Scout initiatives.
Are they similar in the lower 48 of exploring more of science and math, for example?
They are similar along those lines. They're a little different in that in Alaska, the outdoor activities and summer camp activities are much more popular. So that's a bigger portion of our Girl Scout experience than it might be in some of the areas in the lower 48.
Yeah, it's a little different in Manhattan. Yeah, we are very fortunate to have this wonderful nature possibilities.
We do, and what we find is that girls come from all over the country and sometimes all over the world to experience Alaska's Girl Scout camps.
Wow.
Our guest is Sue Perales of the Alaska Girl Scouts.
And you partner with the community. I think that's a wonderful thing, too.
We have many partnerships with the community. Our signature program is a Women of Science Day that we partner with the University of Alaska and with BP, and it's a one-day program where women who are professional scientists and engineers, mathematicians, come in and do hands-on experiments with the girls for a day. And that's a great program, a great way for girls to see role models and to see what women in the fields really do. We have a partnership, Sandy, with Cerenos Theater this year. We're opening night of A Wrinkle in Time, which is the day after Thanksgiving, is Girl Scout Night. And we're very proud to partner that with Cerenos, and every girl who comes to the show will receive a Girl Scout Theater badge.
That's terrific. And of course, it's a perfect marriage, and because Meg, the heroine of Wrinkle in Time, has an astonishing mind and can do calculus in her head.
Well, and we believe that girls can learn to do anything and everything. So we love A Wrinkle in Time, and we're looking forward to opening night.
That's great. Well, of course, there'll be Girl Scout cookies, of course.
Absolutely. And Dick, I brought you a couple of boxes of Girl Scout cookies today, a box of Thin Mints and a box of Savannah Smiles. And Girl Scout cookies are, we run it as a financial literacy program for girls. So girls will learn about planning and budgeting. They'll learn about business ethics. Learn how to ask for a sale.
So that's very interesting, because as a purchaser, as someone who buys them on the doorstep, signs up for them, it never occurred to me that that program might be doing more than just helping fund your activities. It might be teaching kids business skills.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you look at the side of the box, it lists the five key skills.
What are they?
Goal setting, decision making, money management, people skills, and for those of us who've actually run businesses, that's always the challenge, are the people skills and business ethics.
They could definitely grow up to be CEOs, university presidents, or any number of things.
And many do. If you look across the United States, 80% of the women-owned businesses in the United States are owned by women who were Girl Scouts. And I'm a believer that it's because early on, they learned many business skills selling cookies.
Were you a Girl Scout when you were a kid, too, Sue?
You know, I was a Girl Scout in Fairbanks.
Uh-huh.
And one of the programs that I was involved with in Fairbanks is teaching children in rural Alaska how to swim.
Wow. In the summer, I guess.
In the summertime. But because there's not a big window of time when kids can swim, drowning was a big problem.
Ooh.
So getting out into rural areas and teaching youngsters how to swim was an important part of my Girl Scout experience.
Fantastic. And I guess I read that you were also a nationally placed speed skater.
I was a speed skater as a youngster and have been involved in setting up speed skating programs for children to learn the sport, and some big programs to introduce low-income youngsters to speed skating. And it's just a fun sport where kids go out there and they zoom around on the ice and they come home tired. So parents love it.
Bring on the hot chocolate and cookies.
Exactly. And there's a beautiful speed skating facility in Cuddy Park.
Oh, did you know that? I did not know
that.
There's a 400-meter Olympic-sized speed skating facility in Cuddy Park, and it's available, you know, when the weather's cold like it is now, it's available for anyone to go skating, no charge.
Is there a badge for that?
There are badges for ice skating, you bet.
That's terrific. Well, you know, I know all of your badges are fascinating. I got a little packet, and what you asked the girls to do are really valuable. I was especially looking at, you know, playing the past. Maybe even talk about that one. And, of course, theater, that's a great one. So
we like to give girls opportunities to pursue whatever area sparks their interest. So we have a wide array of badges, a wide array of different programs that girls can get involved in. And we hope it exposes girls to new things and it allows them to follow their passion.
I love it. But it also must be challenging to find leaders who have can be mentored in such diversified ways.
Well, it is, but in truth, the girls lead and adults sort of guide. We like the girls to be out front and making the decisions and deciding what their troop or their program is going to look like. And adults don't have to be expert. Adults just have to enjoy watching the girls flourish and be willing to guide a group of young girls through their programs.
So you are looking for Girl Scout leaders,
too. We are absolutely looking for Girl Scout leaders. We have between 5,000 and 6,000 girls enrolled in Girl Scouts and about 1,500 adult volunteers. and there are more girls who would like to participate in Girl Scouts, but we need the adult volunteers to make those opportunities possible. So if you're out there listening and you'd like to be an adult volunteer, you can go to our website, which is www.girlscoutsalaska.org, and click on the volunteer button and see what the options are.
Sue Perlis is our guest. Describe to us the job. My son, who lives in another state, just became a Cub Scout leader, given the ages of his kids, and he's really deep into it. What kind of a job is it? How much of a commitment? If you have someone out there considering this, what would it take out of one's week to do this?
A typical troop might meet an hour or two a week. It really depends on the age of the girls and how often they get together. Troops can vary in size from 4 or 5 girls up to 20 girls. We don't really have any rules. A few troops are even larger than that. And the troop leader really organizes the space, guides the girls, finds out about the various Girl Scout opportunities, and lets the girls lead the way.
Is there something equivalent to an Eagle Scout in Girl Scouting?
Yes, there is, and it's called the Gold Award.
Mm-hmm.
The Gold Award has a significant public service component. And one of the interesting rules around putting together a Gold Award project is not only does your public service project have to have significant impact in your community, but it has to sustain itself even after you are gone. So it really has to be a project that can stand on its own, that other people are going to champion.
So we have a legacy.
And have a legacy. And every year in Alaska, we probably have, I think last year we had 8 or 9 girls. This year it looks like we may have more. We'll earn gold awards, and they just make us proud.
That's wonderful. And, you know, I'm also aware of your champion, speaking of champions, the robotic team that is part of your scouting program.
Girl Scout has really taken up the cause of Lego robotics. Girls really get interested. We have all-girl teams. Last year, 6 of our teams competed in the Alaska State Championships. Our team from Juneau, which was a younger team, won the trophy for leadership, so how they conducted themselves, how they made decisions, and we were very proud of our Juneau team. One of our teams from Anchorage that called themselves the Electronically Overdressed Senoritas because they were being asked to do projects that would help senior citizens. That's what the robots did. The Electronically Overdressed Senoritas were the fastest team in the state.
And faster than the Boy Scout team.
Faster than all the teams. And They won the right to represent Alaska down in Southern California at Legoland in a national competition. So we were very, very proud of all of our teams.
What a fun adventure for them.
And we hope to field even more teams this year. We have more girls who would like to do Lego robotics. We are looking for adult coaches.
Well, you hear that out there. If you have any interest, you should really contact Sue Perlis and the Girl Scouts because the opportunities are so much fun and so exciting.
And again, you don't have to be an engineer or a robot expert. You just have to be willing to give girls a chance.
But it would probably help if you are. That would be a bonus.
The girls figure it out.
Right. You know, I was looking a little bit about your background and how exciting. Of course, you got your degree in economics from Princeton, it says here, and you must have been one of the younger trustees on the university.
I was actually a trustee a while after I graduated. So I was not. Princeton always has what are called young alumni trustees, who are graduating seniors who get elected for a 4-year term. I was not a young alumni trustee. I was maybe 20 years after graduation, I got elected by the alumni to serve on the board. It was a 4-year term, and it was just it's an amazing institution, and it was really a privilege to be on the board.
That would be fantastic. Prince is one of the great schools. But then you went on to another great school. It says you got your MBA from Harvard.
I did, and Harvard Business School is what I'll call the boot camp of business training. It's 2 years of getting up early every morning, staying up late every night and studying, and it's really a boot camp for being a manager or an entrepreneur, and was a great experience.
Well, you certainly are an entrepreneur, and I'm going to have a lot of entrepreneurs in this state, thanks to the Girl Scouts.
Absolutely. We have almost 6,000 young entrepreneurs come cookie season.
Oh, definitely. That's when they're learning that financial literacy. Now, tell me this. If you are out there, maybe a parent even, or a young girl, how do you become involved? as a Girl Scout?
Well, you can become involved many different ways. The classic way to be a Girl Scout is to become a member of a troop. And most of the troops in Alaska are based around schools. Mm. So you could ask around your school or just call us at the office here in Anchorage or go to our website, girlscoutsalaska.org, and ask how you can be involved in a troop. But you don't have to be in a troop nowadays to be a Girl Scout. And that's another thing that's changed from when we were kids.
You mean sort of an independent study?
You could be an independent study. You could go to Girl Scout summer camp, for example,
even
if you weren't in a troop. Or you could be on a Lego robotics team, even if you're not in a troop. Or you could come to Women of Science Day, even if you're not in a troop. And so Girl Scouts is really opening the doors and welcoming all girls to participate in any Girl Scout activity that is attractive to them.
That's fantastic. So do you have kind of an outreach to get them, maybe kids who might not be aware of Scouts, low-income kids, and that kind of thing?
Absolutely. And we have an outreach to all kids in that we have members of our, what we call our membership staff, who will go to parent night and opening nights at different schools and talk to all of the kids. But this year we have a special outreach to Title I schools here in Anchorage, where we're partnering with the United Way to reach out to Title I schools and to establish troops in those schools.
Oh, what a great idea.
And there'll be after-school programs for the girls. Some have already started. Most of them are starting, I think, next week. And, you know, if you're in one of those schools, those will be new troops, and they'll start up, and they will function like every other Girl Scout troop.
That's really great. In other words, they'll also learn all those songs, too.
They will learn the songs. They will participate in the badge programs. Then they'll be part of the cookie sales program.
That's fantastic. You know, how many badges are there potentially to earn?
Well, there's lots. Mm-hmm. I mean, just lots. There are earned badges where there's skill building and it takes a while to do it. You go through a whole program. And if you see a Girl Scout with a lot of badges on their vest, in the front will be the skill badges. And on the back are what are called fun patches. And those are typically participation patches. So, for example, the girls who come to Serenos Theater for A Wrinkle in Time will get a fun patch for the theater for having the experience of going to a show at A Wrinkle in Time.
Hmm. Well, along the artistic ways that they can earn badges, I noticed you have one in screenwriter. Maybe talk a little bit about that, because certainly that's a popular thing to aspire to these days.
Our guest, by the way, is Sue Perlis of the Alaska Girl Scouts. Please go on.
Mm-hmm. No, that's all right. And I'm guessing with our 6,000 girls, many of them are aspiring screenwriters. And I hope, you know, that some of them will take up the cause and do the badge. Learn some of the basic skills, and there's just no telling where it may lead.
Yeah, well, even they could even be playwrights, maybe.
Maybe.
Do you have someone teaching the screenwriting?
They'll each do those in with their troop leaders. Mm-hmm. So there may be lots going on. Girl Scouts is a fairly decentralized program, so I might not know. We could have many budding screenwriters out there. Mm-hmm. I would know towards the end of the year when I see who's earned what badge. But during the year, I may not even know what's happening, because we have girls all across the state. We'll have girls in Southeast and Ketchikan and Juneau. We'll have girls out in Western Alaska, Dillingham, Bethel, and Hooper Bay. Girls in Anchorage, in the Matsu Valley, down the Kenai Peninsula. We're responsible for Alaska south of Mount McKinley. So I can't see every girl every day. So they're out there doing wonderful things. And at some point, they'll tell me about it.
But I'm wondering, do you have an instructor who's a screenwriter who's able to share her skills with these people?
Well, we would like to have some workshops on a lot, and when we do have instructors who can share their skills, we do that. But many times it's a troop leader just takes up the cause, and goes through the program with the girls.
Yeah, it's amazing, kids and technology today. I mean, my own granddaughter made a little mini movie for mm-hmm. school just with her own camera, I guess.
Sure.
So, and it was very impressive.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes we do have experts mm-hmm. showing the girls skills, and I'll give you an example. Last weekend, the Anchorage Curling Club opened their doors to Girl Scouts, and girls of all ages came in, and coaches from the Anchorage Curling Club introduced the girls to the sport of curling.
Aren't they sending somebody to the Olympics?
They are sending somebody to the Olympics, and we may have some budding Olympians who were out there last weekend. There's just no telling.
That's great. That's great. So, And another one of these, I've noticed that you have public speaking. Now, that's a thing that they say 99% of people are afraid to do. So how wonderful that you might acquire that skill as a youngster.
Well, we do. And typically when we run events, the girls run the events. So our girls are used to doing public speaking. When we run luncheons, when we run celebrations, maybe I get a little time at the microphone. But for the most part, girls are the MCs and girls are the speakers. And girls who are involved in Girl Scouts often have quite a bit of experience with public speaking.
That's really helpful. You know, we're getting away from hierarchical models. And do you think because Girl Scouts are girls and women that has an influence on being more consensual and sharing?
Well, absolutely. And Sandy, I know we're on the radio, but if people could have seen you, you were running your hands in a circular motion. And circles are a big part of Girl Scouts. Girls do lots of activities in circles for exactly that reason. It is ceremonially and as a representation is a sense that everyone is participating. It's not hierarchical. There aren't corners. Nobody gets lost. People don't wander off.
Do I hear a vague criticism of men in that?
Absolutely not.
Just praise. Absolutely.
Praise for what our girls are doing.
Well, I think there's been a positive mutual influence.
That's right.
Well, you know, can you tell me, catch yourself on a little bit of the history of Girl Scouts, too?
Sure. Girl Scouts are 101 years old this year.
Oh, yeah, they had the big celebration last year.
The big celebration last year. Girl Scouts were started 101 years ago, Girl Scouts of the U.S., in Savannah, Georgia, by a woman named Juliet Gordon Lowe. And she celebrated on her birthday, which happens to be Halloween. And she started Girl Scouts as an enrichment program for girls. And it has flourished and developed and modernized and changed ever since, while staying to our core traditions of enriching the lives of girls and being inclusive of any girl who wants to participate.
Well, I hope lots of young girls who aren't yet Girl Scouts will now sort of investigate this wonderful possibility.
And we would welcome any girl out there who would like to participate. You can go to our website, call the office, or ask at your school. And you can most likely find a neighborhood troop, and if not, we'll find one for you.
Oh, that's terrific. That's terrific. And I love that, you know, we had an art contest with Wrinkle in Time
yes.
to be the poster, and she happened to be a Girl Scout.
Absolutely. And, you know, Sandy, you opened this art contest up to all the children in the Anchorage area.
Oh, yeah.
It was run through the library, so it got a lot of visibility, and there were beautiful entries in the poster contest from children from kindergarten through high school students.
That's right. There actually will be an art show of all the entries for First Friday
Excellent.
Coming up in December.
And it was an accident, but a happy coincidence that the young artist who won the poster contest, whose artwork will be part of the Wrinkle in Time poster,
yes.
Was a Girl Scout.
Which is a fabulous poster. But by the way, she was quite surprised that, well, I guess she figured you were a Nancy Drew type, or at least psychic, that you knew she was a Girl Scout.
I didn't know until after the poster contest. I went back to the office and looked her up in our database.
That was a happy coincidence.
Absolutely.
So maybe let's go back a little bit to your days when you were yourself going to school. Did you have any inkling that this would be the outcome of your life?
Absolutely not. And I know that there are people who, when they're in their teens, can envision what their career is going to look like. I wasn't one of those people. I have always been a big believer in fun, safe after-school programs for children, that they're enormously enriching, that they can have a huge impact on a youngster's life. And when this opportunity presented itself, it was just too good to pass by.
How did it happen? How did this opportunity happen for you, Sue?
For me, it happened, I was actually in Southern California,
mm-hmm.
working as an investment banker, which I had done for quite some time.
Hmm.
But I had spent all of my, I'll say free time, but as an investment banker, you don't have a lot of free time, volunteering for children's after-school programs. And a friend of mine who knew I had grown up in Alaska let me know about this opportunity. And as I looked into it, it was just looked like so much fun. I said, got to do it.
Now you're investing in the potential of wonderful young human beings for
Absolutely.
Their future. And it really does sound, whatever they learn in the Scouts is totally transferable to whatever they might choose to do.
And it helps them at a young age to build those skills so that they will be more successful at whatever it is that they choose to do.
Right. And I don't think I mentioned this other thing as part of your academic background, that you were the first female Rhodes Scholar from Alaska, earning your doctorate from Oxford University in economics.
Absolutely. I was elected a Rhodes Scholar a long time ago in 1977. It was just a great experience to be able to go to a world-class university to be a graduate student, to meet students and scholars from all around the world. And it was a privilege to be able to represent Alaska through that process.
Oh, very special indeed. But was that the Thatcher era in
It
England?
Was the Margaret...
So that must have been interesting as a person in economics.
It was a time when the British students were protesting because Margaret Thatcher every year wanted to raise tuition, and students just couldn't see their ways to paying those tuition bills. So they were, and they were closing libraries and cutting down on times that buildings were open. So it was a very contemptuous time on
yeah,
at British
eerily
universities.
Yeah, familiar right now, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So, but economics, that was, I probably would not be a good economics person. But I'm glad you are, and I'm glad some people are.
Well, economics is wonderful. You get to look at how marketplaces work, how people make decisions, how commerce works. I actually did my research on how auction markets work, which to me was just, it was always lots of fun. And I love going to auctions.
It's more psychology than there's economics,
isn't
it?
There's some of each in there. And there's the line between psychology and economics is very fuzzy.
And who places the value on things is also very interesting. I'm thinking now of art in particular.
Yes.
So.
And lots of different things are auctioned in this world. I mean, there's everything from eBays to fancy art auctions. There's auctions for oil and gas leases.
That's true. Houses.
Houses are auctioned off. All kinds of things are auctioned off. And if you look back at the history of economics, they look at the marketplace as basically always being an auction market. It's just there's what was lovingly called an invisible hand out there as the auctioneer. So much of the economic literature looks at every market as an auction market.
Very fascinating. And I know we have to wind down, but just a quick comment before we have to go. Why don't you mention that you do have a capital campaign going on now?
We do. We have a capital campaign going on to help rebuild Camp Singing Hills in Chugiak, where our goal is to raise $4 million. To date, we're very pleased that we've raised more than $3 million.
Ooh, you're getting close.
We are getting close. A lot of help came from the state of Alaska and from the Rasmussen Foundation and from many other leadership gifts around the state. But if people are interested in seeing our camp being rebuilt, in investing in the future of Alaska's girls, you can go to our website and click on the donations button and make a donation to the Capital Campaign.
Wonderful. And participate in a very loud auction instead of a silent auction. Oh, Sue, thank you so much for being our guest. And it's just so exciting to hear about the Girl Scouts in Alaska.
Pleasure was mine. And it couldn't be more fun than to get up every day and go to work to help thousands of girls.
Wonderful. And so thank you, everyone, again for listening. And join us again next month for another edition of Alaska Radio Reader Rambler.